I think it is it's a remarkable move. It's something which is more effective move that I'd like to say. It is a recommendation which we made on the 21st of August meeting to the special envoy, that there's a need to get all the special envoys to South Sudan peace process from various countries. As you are aware, Stephen Kalonzo for Kenya, you have Jamal Sirif for Sudan, and then you have the other special envoys like Ismail Wise from IGAD. So our appeal is that let them all come together and coordinate efforts and to make sure that they put all their efforts for success of the implementation of peace agreement in South Sudan.
Right. Now that we have seen a synergy between all these special envoys, what will the fate of the revitalized agreement be after this?
I think the challenge before every actor that wants to support the implementation of revitalized peace agreement, it's the reality. The reality on the ground is that if we want to campaign for compliance of 12 November, then have pending issues, which is specific like the security pending issues. Then here the challenge is whoever wants to stand for compliance of 12 November need to embrace the principle of inclusivity. They have to make sure that you form a government that is inclusive. And some parties were saying because of the pending issue of security arrangement, they will not be part of the inclusive. So mm-hmm. That's one of the challenges on 12 November. And if it's not to comply on 12 November, and then also need to gain political consensus and compromises. You know, without concessions, there'll be no any peace in South Sudan. They need to compromise and to reach political consensus. But these also require all parties to reach to it. So it's a question of now a game of the loser and the winner playing the game. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how much our politicians are ready for win-win approach, because whoever wants compliance, inclusive government is very important. Whoever does not want compliance, political consent and compromise is important.
Right. And if you were tuned in while the interview was playing there, Ambassador Ismail Wise said that IGAD office has not received any official communication from the SPLM-IO declining to take part in the next government. So where does this place their position and what should the people be expecting?
Of course, you know, everything requires a formal procedures. Without formal procedures, only ending up making statements complicate the process. And that's why what I think Ismail Wise is escaping out of it is that I've not received any official formal communication from the leader of the SPLM-IO that he is not going to comply with 12 November. But of course, the leader has made a statement that he's not going to be part of it in his meeting with the Security Council with an expectation that the Security Council meeting is a formal meeting that he have expressed his opinion.
Right.
But obviously, this is the right time that now we need to see any other actors putting their efforts all together to build synergies that we can see what can be done. And if you look at the Djibouti communique is calling for something which is called what you call agree on a temporary, visible, and realistic arrangement regarding the critical outstanding issues of the transitional period. So it means already they're thinking about what can we do as a temporary approach that is visible and is practical. And I think the temporary approach, you don't do anything. You need to do many things around the security arrangement, mm-hmm. specifically the VIP protection unit, cantonment of forces, and then barracking of forces. And like to share with you, Irene, in regards to the VIP already, the numbers have been multiplied.
Right.
But funds are needed to train them, and time is needed to train them and redeploy them. And if you go to the cantonment and back to the forces, there's a bit of discrimination in terms of services. Some people in the cantonment are not getting services as other people are getting services in the barracks. So the question of treatment, equal treatment of the forces which have been canton or barracks, these are all challenges. And these are all underlined with issues related to lack of political will, deficit in trust, lack of funding. And this has made these three elements as a persistent challenge to the fate of the agreement.
Right. And funding has always come out as one of the mega challenge. I mean, with the government giving out $100 million, how is this even distributed? Is there like a track? Is anyone tracking on what's going on? And also about the cantonments, how can those issues that the people who are cantoned there be addressed?
I think one that gets to the funding, there's everybody's call that the government needs to be put a mechanism for transparency and accountability. And of course, this specifically goes to the leaders of MPTC, how transparent, how clean are they in terms of using the resources. And also the 100,000, not necessarily the government is giving them in cash, the government gives them also in kind. Are those in kind reported? And are those in kind being made visible to the rest? Because not necessarily when it's like 100 million, it has to be cash. Some of them have to go in kind mm-hmm. and have to go cash. So those are the things that need to be to be brought forward. With regard to the cantonment, is that people will be visiting the cantonment. Some have been issuing reports. Personally, we have seen this issue of children and women in the cantonment side, and we raise the questions. Why are women and children in the cantonment side? And also the community of Djibouti have address that. The parties have to make sure that the families of those who are contorted or barracked should be taken care of. It's a humanitarian concern. So I think these are some of the general issues that the principals need to take. Right now, the game is at the fingertips of the principals of the parties to the agreement, rather than really anybody, rather than special envoys or IGAD. It is now the parties have to ensure, as the leaders, that they take primary responsibility to make the agreement work.
Right. And now, as we speak, the masses are divided. Their hopes are divided on whether or not the government will be formed come 12th November. And this is a huge question that is lingering into their mind, plus also the, not forgetting the position of the SPLM-IO in the last week's security meeting, when they came out to say, well, when the outstanding issues are not tackled, they won't be part of it. So how can you clear the air for the people? Will the government even be formed?
The challenge that we need to put forward is that political actors that are signatories to the agreement make contradictory statements. And you might have seen also in the Djibouti communique. Djibouti communique have warned the members of the parties that are signatories to abolish this language of inciting or a language of arrogance, making it in line with the agreement implementation. That's because what you can hear, one person will say this, another person will say another one. There's a lot of contradictory messages going on from the parties. Some of the parties will say the issue of the state for us is not a priority. Some will say, oh, with the issue of the state, we may compromise. But some would say, no, with this issue, we can't go forward and we can't implement anything. Mm-hmm. And also, if you hear from the security people, they say, we are ready. What we need is we need money. Numbers are already mobilized. We need to take these numbers to training ground, and quickly we can get them there before 12 November. And here also, you're hearing information that there's no funding. You cannot get real information that there's a funding. People said, we lack funding for funding the agreement. So these are all things that cause the confusion. So we are now in dilemma. Who is to clear this dilemma? I don't think that we analysts or activists can clear this dilemma. This dilemma can clear by a joint statement from the principal of the parties to the agreement. They have to tell us exactly where they are. We are now left with more than 12 days to cross the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's a question of that. And then the other thing also I'd like to bring to your attention, Irene,
right.
It is the grantors. You remember one time I spoke with Sir William about this. We propose and we influence the Djibouti process to make sure that there's a grantors meeting of Sudan and Uganda to ensure that they also put their influence. Remember, as citizens of South Sudan, we have primary responsibility to question them because mm-hmm. they accept to be grantors under the integrated body of IGAD. So we as a citizen of this integrated body have the right to question them whether they stand up to their responsibility or not. And I like that Djibouti have called them to have urgent meeting, Sudan and Uganda, to take part in bringing efforts on how to make the 12th November compliant with, or if they agree to comply with 12th November, then they have political consensus and compromise on the way forward with a clear plan as per Djibouti call also.
Right. Now, Edmund, as an analyst, of course, and a civil society activist, what are your concerns surrounding all this?
Our concern is that if you form a government on the 12th of November exclusively, not inclusive, the chances of breaking down of violence with new players is very high. So we don't think that always it's only the IO that will break it. Some discontented individual take advantage of that. And also this one, you empower the non-signatories to start saying, look here, there's no legitimacy anymore with regard to this agreement. So the question is, for 12 November, you need inclusive government.
Mm-hmm.
While if you are to not to comply with 12 November, you need to move an extension, then there's a question of you need to gain political consensus from all the actors so that it's not a unilateral decision of one party over the other. And also you need to have compromises because some of this issue, like the number of the states, you need to have compromise. And that's why someone like me, I start thinking maybe the best option we can offer these guys is to throw them, like, can you go to the 79 previous counters and establish a federal system where you can abolish these states that is causing us a chaos and just deal with the precedent?
Right. Well, Edmund, I know I should have started with this question, but hey, I was just saving the best for the last. Are you optimistic that the government will be formed come 12th November?
There's two things if it happens. One, if the security leadership of the parties make a position and they have a compromise, that we are going for it because the political decision of forming the government, of naming the government, is depending on the position of the security actors. So I'm optimistic that the security actors, if they make a joint position and tell the political leadership, we are ready for 12 November, and the principles are... Also, one thing that you need to know is a game behind the curtains that they don't talk about. It is a distributed ministerial portfolio. Some of these games that are going on is also lack lack of agreement on the distribution of ministerial portfolio, you can use any other mistake as an excuse. So the question is also if the principal have agreed on the distribution of the ministries, likely on the 12th November government reform, since we have seen a lot of messages coming 12th November need to be compliant with everywhere, at international, at regional, at national, at Djibouti level. So, and as Ismail Wise was saying, I've not received formal information. So I think also IU need to take leadership of clarifying to the public what is attack.
Right. Edmund Yankani, let's leave it at that. Thank you so much for making out time to speak to us.
Yeah, thank you too.